Well, if you do have your Bibles in Psalms chapter 90, you know, if you grew up in church, you probably have heard this passage many times from this chapter, because it's just filled with so much wisdom for our life. But I just had to bring it out again and share the relevance of it for the next two Sundays. I hope you find it inspiring. Last week, Pastor Adam, he spoke about abiding in Him and how we should live as a follower of Christ by abiding in Jesus Christ. And he referenced John chapter 15, which is a great chapter, along with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and speaking to us about having a connection with Christ, having a dependence with Christ, and having a continuance with Jesus Christ as the center of our lives. And he closed his message by saying that it's time to get up off of it, get out in it, get on through it, and get down to it in regard to our walk with Christ. And the same is true that can be said of this passage this morning found in Psalms 90 as we look at how to number the days of our lives. And today we'll discover the aspect and the importance of how numbers are important in our lives, as well as the events that go along with them. Because as believers in Christ, as we number our days, it is important to remember to let everything that has breath... Amen. Caught you all off guard there for a minute. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come together this morning in your holy sanctuary. We thank you for the fellowship and the family and the friends that are gathered here today. And we ask that you would strengthen us. We ask that you would restore us. We ask that you would inspire us with your amazing love. And we ask that you would fill us with your peace that you have, Father, the peace that goes without comprehension and that is only found through Jesus Christ. So that as we journey onwards in our walk with you, that we would be able to pour out your love and your grace to others around us. And we ask today that the souls would be able to catch the wind of your Spirit, so that we would learn to take your promises to all of those around us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, did you hear about the guy who had a parakeet named Chippy? The guy made some terrible mistakes with Chippy, because there's just some things that you don't do with parakeets. Evidently, to get the job done faster, while his wife went out shopping one day, he decided to vacuum the hardwood floor with a shop vac instead of spending time, like his wife told him to, with a dusting it with a mop duster and using wood cleaner, the way you're supposed to do with hardwood floors. But like as most guys do, as he was doing this, he spots some holes and so forth and seeds that overflows from the parakeet's cages. And if you've ever owned a parakeet, you know what I'm talking about. They can make a mess, especially if you have carpet in your house. But as he was vacuuming the holes and seeds and such underneath the parakeet's cage, being a guy, he thought, well, why don't I just clean out the bottom of Chippy's bird cage, too, while I'm here with a vacuum? Mistake number one. So right as he was doing that, the phone rang, and he turned around to answer the phone. And, of course, you guessed it, Chippy goes right into that vacuum tube, into the canister. Mistake number two. Well, he sees this, and he drops the phone, and he shuts the vacuum cleaner off, and he opens up the canister, and there was poor little Chippy. Feathers ruffled, dirt all over his little body. And so Chippy the parakeet was stunned, but he was alive. And so the guy takes Chippy into the bathroom with a bird in hand, mistake number three, and then he holds Chippy under the sink faucet, and he turns it on full blast. And then after he soaks the parakeet down and gets the dust off of it, he spots the hairdryer on his wife's counter across from him. Mistake number four. So he turns the hair dryer on hot and dry, hot and high. So the blast of hot air did the trick. It dried the parakeet, but it almost finished off poor little Chippy. And so when a friend called the next day to check on the bird, he asked the guy, he said, well, hey, by the way, how's your parakeet doing after that ordeal? He said, well, Chippy doesn't sing anymore, and he just sort of sits there and stares. And so you see, like Chippy, you never know when some well-intentional person will do something or some event will happen in your life that will in some way either just seem to suck the life out of you or just leave you staring aimlessly. I'm sure that you've been there. I know I have. And so as we look at our passage, we can glean some real wisdom from David, who was a man after God's own heart. Please look with me in verse 12 and following. It says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be, and be sorry for thy servants? O satisfy us in the morning." Everybody say morning. All right. "With thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days." You see, what you do when you're young can affect you in all of your days. Look at the next verse, verse 15. "Make us glad according to the days thou hast afflicted us and the years we have seen evil." Okay, now let's go back up to verse 12, and I want you to see it with me because that's what our message is about this morning. Teach me to number my days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Now, let's look at that verse, and let's replace the word us with the word me, the word our with the word my, we're personalizing this, and the word we with the word I. So it says, say together with me, "Teach me to number my days, that I may present to you a heart of wisdom." Man, what a powerful verse that is. So much in that. And my hope in today's message is that you will lean in and you'll take it to heart and let God just write these scriptures and embed them in your heart for you to remember. Because out of the Word of God, many of you blessed saints here are familiar with this verse and you've heard it preached in your early years, from the hardened wood pews, if you grew up with those things, and the towering mahogany pulpits that they were preached from, preachers have bellowed out this scripture, "Teach us to number our days." And I think it's such an insight on having purpose attached to your life and my life in order to teach us to number our days. Because the reason I say that is because it's interesting that when God created the earth along with everything that's in it, he told Adam to name all of the animals. Name them. And he gave Adam the responsibility to name all of the animals. And then when the patriarchs and the others in the Bible were in certain places, they would name those certain places, or they would name those wells in which they drew the water from. They would name the mountains, such as Mount Mizpah or Mount Olive, and all of these names were named with a purpose. They would name their children, and in naming their children, the names of their children would perhaps have some prophetic utterance pertaining to their destiny, or perhaps they would name their children after certain events that happened in their lives that were taking place at that time. And then you come to days, and it's interesting that God never said to name the days. Have you ever noticed that when you read the Bible? He said to number the days. Don't name them, number them. Why? Because when he created the first day, the Bible said in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And the evening and the morning were the first day." Notice he didn't say the evening and the morning was a Monday. He put a number on it and he numbered it. Verse 8 in Genesis chapter 1 says, "And the evening and the morning were the second day." And then in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 1, "Then the evening and the morning were the third day." And what God is trying to get in our mind is that it's important to number the days and not just to call them Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or whatever it may be. And it's also interesting that you never hear God say, you know, on a Sunday he came out of that tomb. Or on a Saturday, this and this happened. But it's the third day that Jesus rose from the tomb. Notice that the day is always numbered. For instance, after 40 days, Jesus came out of the wilderness. It doesn't tell us if he came out on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or some other day during the week, because it didn't matter what the name of the day was, because it was the number of the day that was significant. And so we just keep seeing this thing throughout scriptures where God says that we are to number our days. And again, you see in scripture in the book of Numbers, chapter 28, on the first day of the Passover feast, God said, then on the 14th day of the month, they shall be the Lord's Passover. And then later in Leviticus, in the book of chapter 23, we find 50 days from the Passover feast, there was the feast of Pentecost. Again, he doesn't say the name of the day, but rather the number of the day. And you can just see it over and over in scripture. Like when, for instance, when Noah goes inside of the ark and it rained for 40 days. Because when you think about that, it took quite a while for all of that water to go down before you let the animals out. Matter of fact, the Bible says it was 150 days. That's 5 months, folks. Stuck on an ark with a bunch of animals. Imagine getting cabin fever with a boatload of animals that have been caged up who are never used to being caged up. They've never been caged up before. They always roam freely on the earth, along with all of those smells. Whoa. Man. And I believe what God is trying to tell us here is that if we'll number our days, it'll remind us that trouble doesn't always last. Trouble doesn't last always. Trouble doesn't last forever. And so you have to know where you are in that number whenever possible. So if you're going through something, then know that every trial and that every hard time that you go through and every tough season that a believer goes through, it has a beginning day, day one, and it has an expiration day. Every trial that you and I go through has an expiration day that's marked on it. Troubles won't last always. I promise you that. Wait, never mind me. Look at Scripture. Scripture promises us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. The problem with us reading that scripture is we think momentary is quick. But as we see with Noah, 5 months was momentary. And we're such a quick society, we want this to happen, God. I want this to happen in my life. And even though it's got momentary in God's time, it's not so in our time. So Noah, he had to say something like, teach me, Lord, to number my days, God. I know this rain can't last forever, and much more finally subsides so I can get these animals out of here, so we can get out of here. Because if you remember, before the flood, the earth was watered by a tropical mist. And Noah and the others had never, ever seen rain before. And say the same is true. And sometimes in his walk with Christ, God may bring something or cause some uncomforting circumstance to happen in our lives, something that perhaps maybe we've never seen or maybe we've never encountered before. And he doesn't do that to us as punishment, but rather to bring about a greater purpose in our life that he is accomplishing. Because the Bible said that on the 40th day that it stopped raining and storms ceased for Noah. And then there's a day in your life as well that is already marked. And here's how you are able to get established in it. And here's how you make it through that and find that expiration date in your trial. You look at your life, and if you're going through something, you say, well, it didn't start today, which means I'm closer to my expiration date on that problem than I've ever been. Because God will never put more on you and more on me than we're able to bear. So that's why we have to say, Lord, teach me to number my days, so that I will understand that every trial has a length to it and that it has a deadline to it. It has an expiration date on it. It has a period on the end of it. And nothing is going to last forever. And I say that to you because I know many people are literally going through hell in their life. And they think, when is this going to end? And if they will number their days, they know it has an expiration date tied onto it. The reason I say that is when Daniel went on the 21-day fast in Daniel chapter 10. You can turn there if you'd like, Daniel chapter 10 in your Bibles to see this. When Daniel went on the 21-day fast in Daniel chapter 10, the Bible said that the angel came to him on the 24th day of the month. And when the angel came to him, well, here, notice again, it's a number. It's a number that's tied to that scripture. That same number is attached to your breakthrough as well. Because I don't know if you remember or not, but in the book of Judges, Gideon, you remember Gideon? He would not get his breakthrough because the enemies were coming against Israel. And he would not get his breakthrough until Gideon reached 300 men. Because as long as Gideon had 10,000 men, God said that you haven't reached the right number that I want to get your victory. But there is a number that is attached to your breakthrough and what you're going through. And so here Daniel is. He starts fasting for 21 days, three full weeks. Listen to the words in verse 12 of Daniel chapter 10. It says, I set my heart to seek the Lord. Now that's a little different than when you're just casually praying and when you and compared to when you really decide to set your heart to something, to do something, or you set your mind to do something, or set your spirit to do something. There wasn't none of this, I'll pray about it for you and then forget to. He set his mind to it. And Daniel said in verse 12, Daniel started praying on day one. And then in verse 13 of chapter 10 of Daniel, it says that the angel broke through. And it said, Daniel, God heard your prayer on the first day, but there was a spiritual conflict in the heavenlies. Demon powers were fighting, trying to hold your prayers from having a breakthrough to give you power. But I'm so glad that you kept on praying. And that's why I thank God for our prayer warriors here at Prayer of Faith. Thank God for our intercessors here at Prayer of Faith. People that don't quit on you after just one prayer. Because on the first day God heard you and sent angels to bring you your answer. But the enemy, Satan, withstood your prayers in the heavenly realm. But Daniel still kept praying. And because he kept numbering his days and says, I'm not there yet. I've got to push this thing through. I've got to push through. I've got to keep praying. And in that number, in Daniel's spirit, it was 21 days. And by the time he got to 21, the angel broke through and said, here's your answer to your prayer. This is such an insight to the warfare that's going on in the heavenly realms that we don't see with our physical eyes. There's a lot of things we don't see with our eyes. Sometimes we just need to understand how things work without seeing how God works in our lives, just in order for Him to be able to give us some insight. According to a news report, a certain private school in Victoria, Texas, was faced with a unique problem. Seems like there was a number of 12-year-old girls who were beginning to use lipstick, and they would put it on in the girls' bathroom, and that was fine. But after they put on their lipstick, they would put it on, press their lips to the mirror, leaving dozens of lipstick prints on the mirror. And every night, the maintenance man would have to remove them, and the next day, the girls, after putting on the lipstick, they would be right back on the mirror. So finally, the principal decided, we got to do something about this. So what she did is she called the girls to the bathroom and met them there with a maintenance man. And she explained to all of these 12-year-old girls that it was causing a major problem for the custodian with having to clean their mirrors every night with those lipstick prints. And so to demonstrate how difficult it had been to clean those mirrors, she asked the maintenance man to show the girls how much effort was required in cleaning those lipstick prints off of those mirrors in the girls' bathroom. So what he did is the maintenance man took a long-handled squeegee, and he dipped it in the toilet, and he cleaned the mirror with it. And he said, this is how I clean the mirrors. Since then, there have been no lip prints on the mirror. You see, there are some teachers, and then there are some educators who can give you insight in a special way that you'll remember and that you'll see. And we need to see as well that Scripture gives us insight on how things work in our lives that we're not able to see what God's doing and going on. How we have to number the days. Because the problem won't last always. So keep on praying. Just keep on pushing through. The Scriptures say, don't become weary. Your day will come. Because there's a number attached to your breakthrough. And for 21 days, Daniel set himself. And sometimes we just have to set ourselves. We have to say, I'm in it to win it. I'm going to stick through this thing. And keep praying and pushing through and keep seeking God. Never give up. Never give in. That's what's called faith. Because there's warfare between your prayer and your answer. In verse 19, notice that the man in the vision said to Daniel, he said, you are loved, stand up, and fear not. Those words were echoed in the New Testament by a similar man that was manifested in a human form physically here on this earth. His name is Jesus. He told many people the same message. Peace be with you. Take courage or stand up and fear not. Fear not, because God hears your prayer. And He has your answer. And in the case with Daniel, it was 21 days. When we see Scripture, how it gives us great insight about our life, it helps us to better understand how David penned those words in Psalms when he said, teach me to number my days. Meaning the longer that I live, the longer that you and I realize that we just don't have time to waste. Because I'm not as young as I used to be. I don't have as many days left either. I'm over a half a century old. I'm 62 years old. I now understand, when I read the Bible, why all of those saints and priests and kings had scribes with them all the time. Because whenever they were heard whispers from God or a word from God, they needed someone to write that stuff down, or else they would forget it. That's just the way it is. And when I hear God whispers in my spirit, words to say in my messages, if I don't write it down, if I don't record it somewhere, then it's gone. It's gone. I have to think to myself, man, God, that was a good one. I'm going to remember that one to use in my message. And no sooner I get to the place where I pick up composing my message, I have then forgot that nugget of wisdom that He shared with me. Because you just have to begin to number your days and become wise in what you do and just begin to see things differently. We don't have as many years on the calendar as we used to. And the months keep going by, the days keep going by, and the older you are, it seems the faster they go. Have you ever noticed that? And the problem is there's no pause button. You can't just pause life. You can't pause, put the pause button and stop and just do your thing and get back to life later. There's no reset game button that you can on the video games. That's the problem with a lot of young ones that grew up with video games that are just so much into them. They think that you can reset life, that you can pause the game and go back to it. But no, it keeps going. It keeps going. You ever have anybody in your life that they want to pause life and then just do their own thing? Well, meanwhile, you've got to carry on with life along with all the responsibility that it brings. That's why we need to say, Lord, I want to do everything in my heart wisely. And so, Lord, teach me to number my days. I mean, think with me for a moment. If we could just impart to young people the wisdom that we have learned when we were young and when we were their age, right now, to impart to them on how to spot friends that are not good in their life. Because you and I know, we can tell when someone's going to use you, when someone's going to take advantage of you, when someone's going to be a temporary friend to get what they can and then go, when someone's going to just do their own thing and have their way with your life, no holds barred, leaving you holding the bag. We can spot those type of people at our age now. And if we could impart that wisdom to them, and if they would be willing to listen, man, how much it would help them and save them a lot of heartache. Think if we could impart to married couples the wisdom in areas of their marriage that would build good strongholds, or even areas that maybe would save them a number of days or hours of heartache and stress, and God forbid, possibly for divorce, because divorce is rampant among churches. Oh, say it, not so. I'm sorry to say, the church is not exempt from the enemy's fiery arrows. I would encourage you to become involved in our Bible study on Wednesday nights for adults, for teens, and for children. For adults, it's a great place to learn about other couples. A lot of times it's comical on the things they encounter and what they say to each other. With teens, it's a great place to come to be accepted, to share your thoughts in a safe place, and to have fun with other teens. With children, it's a loving and secure place in which they learn about the love of Christ through teachers that love them so dearly and love their master as well. Just remember, someone needs to hear your story of what God has done for you in your life, or to hear something, maybe just something nice to come from you. You don't have to preach to them. Just say something nice. It's important to know how to make the most of your day by just simply asking God to lead you to someone. And know that God's working on your answer and trying to get your answer to you through the heavenlies, through the Holy Spirit in your life, in my life. The great Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who gives us access to the Father to be able to approach that throne of grace through Jesus Christ. But here's the reality of that. Just as the angel was fighting in the heavenly realm while Daniel's prayer was trying to get through, the devil will now fight you to keep you from getting access to the Father through the throne of grace. And how does he do that? He does it through guilt. He does it through condemnation. They don't call the devil the accuser for nothing. He'll keep you busy and confused until it seems like your days just kind of seem to run together. Until you're so caught up with your problems, until you feel like the walls are just closing in and you feel like you're drowning at times. You understand why the scriptures call him the author of confusion? Because that's what he does. because he's keeping you confused and going to the Father for your request and for your comfort and for your peace. It's spiritual warfare is what it is in the life of the believer. And it's no longer just in the heavenly realms that it happens. It happens here on earth. You don't believe me? Just watch the news. You'll see it everywhere in this earth going on now. You know, as pastors, we don't have an answer for everybody in our church family. And just as you don't have an answer for everybody in your family at times to solve all of their problems, we like to try at times, give it a shot. We like to think we can, but the fact is we just don't. I don't have a key for everybody. I don't have a key point. Here's the key. Nor do I want to. Nor do a lot of people want a key for everything. Some people like to keep their doors closed in their life until they're ready to open them. And that's why Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me." It's Jesus that has the key. And he knows when you're ready to open that door. Because what I've found is, from others, is that people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I know that's a cliche saying, but it's so true. People will not listen to your wisdom until they see for themselves that you're willing to invest in them, to walk with them along their path, to listen and talk and maybe even cry with them, instead of just saying, "Well, here's a word for you. Pat on the back. Hope you get better." Yeah, we don't want to hear that. Because there's some people that I'm assigned to, there's some people that you're assigned to, that people will be open to their wisdom. And the older that I get, the more I pray to the Father, "Father, put me in the right place, put me in the right time with the right people so that I can have a maximum impact in their lives for what you want to do through me to give you the glory, Father." Because some people just want you to listen without prejudice. Just listen. To maybe just unload their burden without being fixed. Galatians 6 talks about that. That we are to help people carry their burden. So maybe we just need to listen sometimes without prejudice. Don't try to guess what someone is coming to you with because maybe you've been through it before. "Oh, yeah, I know all about that. Yeah. Because you may end up regretting it. Don't try to be like the teacher who, on the last day of school, where children were bringing gifts to their teacher. You remember those days. The florist's son brought the teacher some flowers, a bouquet of flowers. Candy store owner's son brought the teacher a pretty box of candy. The liquor store owner's son brought the teacher a big, heavy box. And the teacher lifted it up, and she noticed it was leaking a little bit. And so she touched the drop of liquid on her finger and tasted it and said, "Is it wine?" She said, "It tastes a little like wine." And the boy said, "No." And so she tasted another drop and said, "Is it champagne?" And the little boy said, "No, it's a puppy." So don't try to guess what people bring you. You may regret it. Don't try to guess it because you may regret it. That's why I say we need to remember to pray, and you have to remember that to teach me to number my days. Don't let me waste my life. Don't let me waste my time. Don't let me waste my anointing on just myself, consumed with myself or with my desires. Don't let you waste our days on people who are not open to what God has put inside of us to reveal to them. Now, I know that may sound harsh, but that's why Jesus said, "Don't cast your pearls before swine." Because you may be well-intentioned to help them, they don't want to hear it. So teach us to number our days on the people we are to be open with. Show us, Father, those who are open to receive your love, to receive your words, to receive your touch, to receive your healing, to those who need you. And the question is, who are the people in your life that need you? You know, a lot of times we become so consumed on the way we think what is right that we miss the signs that are around us a lot of times. We can become so consumed with the daily events going on in our lives along with our problems that we have to deal with. And a lot of times we get sidetracked to where we kind of become like poor little Chippy in the story earlier, kind of leaving us just kind of staring aimlessly and blank, and the song just is sucked out of our lives. And that's why I say, teach me to number my days, O Lord. Because you know what? If I'm wrong now, I don't have 40 years to fix it. I don't have 40 years to go around this mountain one more time. And neither do some of you. You younger ones, you still have some time. But science tells me dead skin flakes are falling off you even where you sit, so be careful. I don't have 40 years to go around this mountain till I get it right. Help me to number my days. So I have to ask you this morning, what are you doing with those days? What are you doing with those opportunities that God does give you? Because understand that your opportunity may be there for just a little while and then it's gone. You may never see that opportunity like you have now, again in your life. John Maxwell tells the story of a man who understood that and realized that, and who learned the value of time. One day the man sat around with a calculator, and he got to thinking, and he assumed that, you know, most people's lifespan is about 75 years. That's kind of the average lifespan. A lot of people live much longer, and some don't, but 75 seemed to be about average. And he found that if he lived to be 75 years old, that means there's 52 weeks in a year. So 75 times 52 weeks is 3,900 weeks. Meaning that if you were able to live 75 years old, that means you get 3,900 Saturdays, and then it's over. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot when you think about it. That all you and I are going to get out of life, if we're fortunate, is 3,900 weeks. So it dawned on the guy while he was sitting there that he was 55 years old at the present time. And he'd already used up most of his 3,900 Saturdays. He had 2,860 Saturdays left. Well, actually, he used up 2,860 Saturdays. He had left only 1,040 Saturdays that were left in his life, assuming he lived to 75. So what he did is he bought a glass container, a vase, similar to this one. He put 1,040 marbles in it. I use gumballs in this one so the children can have them after service if they want them. But he used it as a visual aid to remind himself. And every Saturday, what he would do is he would walk over and he would take one of those marbles out and he would just kind of throw it away and toss it away. Because it was a visual reminder that it would signify that he had one less week to live in his life, one less Saturday to spend with his family. And then as the marbles would go down in the vase, it would remind him that I need to be numbering my days. What a visual reminder of what life and how short it is on this earth. And we as believers in Christ need to grasp that understanding and the importance of what it means to be alive in Christ. So if you still have some marbles in your jar, rejoice and enjoy them and learn to see the importance of numbering your days weekly so we can say, teach me to number my days. So that as the days go back in our lives, we can look back at your years and you can enjoy them and see some fruitfulness in them in your life. Several years ago, we lost one of our oldest members in the Choctaw Kiwanis Club. For those of you that don't know what the Kiwanis Club is, it's a community civic organization that is dedicated to serving the community for the betterment of children. Well, this guy's name was Al Crumley. He was 89 years old, and he'd been a member of the Choctaw Kiwanis Club since 1995. So that was 18 years he lived and spent as a community servant, serving cookies at Christmas time, serving pancakes that are a pancake breakfast, giving turkeys away, doing things in the community for the betterment of kids. Matter of fact, he was working at one of our pancake breakfasts during the final week of his life, just 3 days before he passed away. Now that's how I want to get old. Serving up to the very last days and being part of something good that benefits others. And that's why we encourage many of you to become involved in the kingdom of God by serving others. Serving in your church, serving in your community, serving in whatever you choose to do, but just do something good in your life to help better this planet you live on. So when you go through the gates of heaven and God says, "What have you done for mankind?" you'll have an answer. To live our lives with fullness as we go about each day, and to remember that you and I are God's workmanship and we're created for good works, and numbering our days to do so. Make something count for your life, because life is too precious to just exist in it. Don't pass up those opportunities that are before you, because God's working on shining His best through you like never before. Don't give up, for you and I can't see what's happening in the heavenly realm, what's going on now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says it like this: "Therefore, don't lose heart. But although our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day by day by day. So don't let your physical body determine your strength of your inner spirit. Because trouble won't last always. So number your days and give God praise." You may be going through some crisis of some type, or battling sickness, or some other maybe unexpected event came at you suddenly. And just know that God is working through to get your answer, to get your promise, to give you a message of hope. Just keep pushing through. Just keep praying. Keep being faithful. Keep encouraging each other to increase your faith so that you can number your days and make the best of them until your time of promise has arrived to shine the light of Christ. So that when all is said and done, you're making the story of your life that counts in the lives of other people. So what's the takeaway for today? Just know that God is working behind the scenes in your life, just as He did Daniel's, to get your promise and your answer through. Because there are just some things that our eyes can't see. So you and I just need to set our hearts and stand strong to push through it and fear not. And just remember that He loves both you and I. And rest with the peace that He gives us as we number our days wisely, to make the most of every opportunity while being ready to be used by Him as He calls upon us. And know this, that our answer to our prayers may be within His calling of you to minister to someone else along your path that He sends. Today, if you'd like our prayer counselors to pray with you for anything this morning that's on your heart, they are here for you today to pray with. We are here to do that. They're here to give us comfort for our spirit. They're here through prayer or to anoint you with oil. So please come and let us minister to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father,